there today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, welcome back to the programme. Just waiting to get in touch with the Sinn Féin leader in Northern Ireland, Michelle O'Neill. Before we get to that, to let you know that you may have heard this in our 9 o'clock news bulletin. A man has died following a single vehicle crash in County Laois this morning. Gardaí and emergency services are currently at the scene of the collision on the Ballacolla to Rathdowney Road in Ballacolla, 21 kilometres from Port Laois. The collision occurred at approximately 1 a.m. This morning. The man was aged in his early 40s. He was pronounced dead at the scene. A male passenger aged in his early 30s was treated at the scene for his injuries believed to be non-life threatening. The Ballacolla to Rathdowney Road is closed between Moyne Cross and Rathmackelly Crossroads pending a technical examination. Local diversions are in place. So if you are travelling along the border or crossing into County Laois, just be mindful of that particular crash because it is causing significant delays. Right, let's go to our first topic of the morning, and Sinn Féin leader in Northern Ireland, Michelle O'Neill, is on the line. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning to you.
So some of the issues, obviously we've a lot to talk about. You're going to be in Kildare at the weekend at Bowdenstown in Salins. Indeed, I'm a Salins man, so I've seen the tricolours being put up and there's posters of yourself all around the village as well. But obviously a lot more happening, and I note that there's an article in the Irish Examiner today. A fully functioning Stormont executive is needed to agree the investment to transform the health service, according to yourself. Health Minister Robin Swan earlier unveiled a major plan for hospital services, described as a significant step towards reconfiguring the region's under pressure health service. But you're saying a functioning executive is needed.
It is indeed. Firstly, I was delighted to get to Salins this weekend after the last couple of difficult years where we've not been able to gather at such events. It's great to have the chance to be out and about again. So really looking forward to travelling down on Sunday, and let me extend a welcome to any of your listeners that are listening on this morning, because it's always a fantastic event and, you know, gives us a chance to commemorate the father of Irish republicanism and leader of that rebellion of 1798. So I think that, you know, it's a great opportunity and I'm really, really looking forward to it. But I suppose just in terms of the political situation in the north and where we need to be in a functioning executive. We have had a very historic election just over 40 days ago. Sinn Féin has been returned as the largest party, and I am the first minister in waiting, if you like, and to this point the DUP have continued to block the formation of an executive, which is to deny the democratic outcome of the election, which isn't acceptable, particularly at this time whenever people are really struggling with the cost of living. Like, people are struggling to heat their homes and put food on their table, and what they need is politicians to work together, and what they need is a locally elected assembly getting every day trying to put money into the pockets of workers and families to get them through this period. And you know, the election result needs to be respected, and that this can't go on indefinitely. And it's only the DUP that are blocking the formation.
Yeah, so the DUP won't re-enter the cabinet or the executive until unionist concerns over the protocol are addressed. Now, ministers remain in departments, but without an executive, there can be no new government business. Have the DUP not got a point, though, Michelle? Like, they have concerns about the protocol. Do they not have a point?
They don't in this regard. Firstly, there were 90 people elected to the Assembly, 54 of which support the protocol. There are some issues with the protocol that can be resolved, and we want that to happen, but there is a form in which to do that. There's no powers within the executive itself in which to resolve any of these issues with the protocol. And the other thing is the protocol is here to stay, so we need to find ways to smooth the implementation of the protocol, but that shouldn't deny democracy. That shouldn't deny us having a fully functioning executive and assembly. That shouldn't deny the public access to money to help them get through the cost of living crisis. But that's in fact the outworking of the DUP's actions. So they've called it wrong on Brexit. There was never any consent to Brexit in the north. We rejected it in the main, but it's foisted upon us. We found some mitigation in the form of the protocol, and then now we find ourselves in a scenario where the DUP or Home Society to ransom, which just isn't good enough.
Well, in 2017, Michelle Martin McGuinness stood down as Deputy First Minister following a row between Sinn Féin and the DUP over a green energy scheme back then. So if we're talking about democracy, at that stage, Sinn Féin kind of put the Assembly into the same position as the DUP are now.
Let me take that on, because I think it's really important to break that down. Back in 2017, the DUP were involved in a financial scandal that would have saw £500 million of public money dripped away, and they hid that. They designed a scheme that was obviously not fit for purpose, but they designed a scheme and then hid all that information from their partners in government. There isn't a government anywhere in the world that would have set up and running at that time. So Martin McGuinness had at that time asked Arlene Foster to stand aside for a period of time for an inquiry, but she refused to do so. So we had no other option other than to collapse the government at that time. But let me tell you this, and I was part of the negotiation team. We were there today trying to negotiate and get it back up and running again. But I'm quite sure some of your listeners might be aware of this. Throughout that time, we had two deals in which to form an executive, but it never happened. And the reason it never happened was because the DUP were in a confidence and supply deal with the Tories in Westminster, and they were running around over there, cock-a-hoop, very pleased with themselves, trying to be the game maker, and they actually did not even want or desire a locally elected assembly and executive at that time. So that was why it was so difficult. So it's not about that. Where we are today is that we've just had a huge election. It's an historic election. The North was built on an inbuilt unionist majority, and that's now gone. The North was built to ensure that someone of my ilk would never be in the position of First Minister, but that is now the election result. The people have spoken, and now it's time to get down to business. We can all have our political differences, but what the public needs right now is solid government. What they need is people actually working together to help them through this period. And then, alongside all of that, let's find ways to make sure the protocol works more smoothly.
Okay, if we kind of tie it in then with Ireland here and the North, Sinn Féin, clearly the number one party here in terms of opinion polls in Ireland and also in Northern Ireland as well. So it seems as though the popularity of the party has grown, something you must be happy with.
Of course, we take none of that for granted, and we're very grateful for everybody that comes and supports the party. We believe that we are a party that's demonstrating every day the change that the public really desire. The public, there's a whole sentiment of change that's happening across the island. If you look at the recent election result in the North, if you look at the fact that Marilyn MacDonald is the first female leader of the opposition, and if you look at the popular support that we're enjoying. But as I said, we take nothing for granted. We work really hard on people's behalf. We're determined to stand up for workers and families, and we're determined to change and shake up the system of old that just hasn't served the public well. So,
is it easy, Michelle, to say that though in opposition and, you know, promise the sun, moon and stars? Because these, I suppose, the measures that Sinn Féin are promising to bring in or say that they will bring in ultimately has to come out of the taxpayers' pockets.
Well, no, I don't think we don't take anything for granted, as I said, in terms of support, and everything that we would put out in terms of how we would do things differently. With always things that will be costed, there are always things that we know that we can deliver. So we never make empty promises. If we said we can do something, then we'll do something. We've demonstrated across the island, whether that be in opposition, and I think that our team in the Dáil have led, they've really exposed actually the failures of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. Look at the housing crisis, look at that situation. I mean, I think under decades of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I think it's very plain that for all to see that their policies aren't working for ordinary people. And I think that what we offer is change. What we offer is something different, and what we offer is that we will have the backs of workers and families.
Okay, what about a border poll, Michelle? What's your views on that? How divisive do you think it would be?
No call for it to be divisive whatsoever. I mean, there's no doubt that we are moving towards that space. I mean, we've described this as a decade of opportunity, and we think that now is so crucial, more than ever, it's so crucial that we have the conversation around what does the United Ireland look like, because there's it's such a healthy debate now at play where more and more people are entering into the conversation around what does that look like? What does an Irish National Health Service look like free at the point of delivery? What would education look like? So we've called for a citizens' assembly. We believe that there should be an Erasmus committee on reunification. We think that we should be moving now to put in place the component parts of what this better future could look like, because partition has failed every Irish citizen across this island. It's failed everybody who shares this island, and I think there's an opportunity now for us to do something better. So let's have the plan, let's have the conversation, and then let the people decide.
Okay, just before we finish up, I played this particular clip in the newspaper reflection that we had this morning between 9 and 20 past 9. It's Leo Varadkar speaking to Piers Doherty in the Dáil Chamber yesterday. I'm sure you've heard it, but just have a listen to it again.
You host dinners in America. You charge people $1,000 a plate to attend, and your party leader flies first class to get there. That's what you do in the middle of a cost of living crisis. And I believe she's about to announce another first class trip to Australia, which we should be undertaking in the next couple of weeks, where she'll be clinking champagne glasses with the Trinity alumni in Australia and meeting the Australian Business Association. So that's a cheap shot, particularly coming from a hypocritical party like yours, a party that receives millions of donations from vagabonds who live in a caravan, a party that is one of the biggest landlords in the state. That
owns 50 properties, without interruption, please.
And a person who operates his constituency office using public money from some sort of Republican company. So cheap shots, particularly coming from you, should be seen as what they are from the Irish people.
That's Taoiseach Leo Varadkar speaking to Piers Doherty and obviously referencing Mary Lou MacDonald as well. Michelle, what's your response to that?
Well, I think that his response actually to Piers Doherty says it all. It's because they have failed. It's because their policies have failed. It's because they have a housing crisis. We have a housing crisis in Ireland, which is should be considered a decade of shame for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. So I think that whenever Leo Varadkar has been exposed for failing the people, the ordinary people of Ireland, then he reaches for personal attacks and slurs. So I think that the people will be able to work that out for themselves.
Okay, and just remind us as well, you're going to be in Salins at the weekend on Sunday for Bowdenstown. What is the, I suppose, plan of action there? What time does everything start? And you'll be marching to Bowdenstown Graveyard, won't you?
We will indeed. And as I said, we want as many people as possible who'd be interested to come along. We would love to see everybody. It's organised by the party, but you don't have to be a party member to come along. It's open to everybody. And it's 2:30 in Salins.
Okay, that is Sinn Féin leader in Northern Ireland and the Northern Ireland First Minister in waiting as well, Michelle O'Neill. Thanks indeed for joining us, Michelle.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, lots more messages coming in with regards to hay fever cures. Hay fever, take a spoon of honey each day that has been produced locally within a 12-mile radius. My godmother, who suffers with hay fever, passed this tip on to me years ago and she swears by it. Another one here, the hay band, the hay fever band that goes on your elbow, works on your pressure point. My daughter Taylor says it's brilliant. I actually have one of those and I do think the hay fever is not as bad as it used to be. With that, another one here saying go to your GP, get your required prescription medication if everything else isn't working. I did and I haven't looked back, says this listener. Another one here says a bullock went missing on Monday the 6th of June at 4 o'clock around the Painstown Dunedee area. It's a Charolais Cross white in colour and we have the tag number here and also the name of, I'm presuming, the owner of that bullock. So if anyone has found a stray bullock running around the Painstown Dunedee area, then get in touch with us and we might be able to reunite it with its owner. And another message here before we go to Kira. May and June are horrible months for us hay fever sufferers. I've no sympathy either. I've tried everything. These are good and I wash my face about 20 times a day. I put Vaseline on my nose and eyelids to catch the pollen. And yeah, a couple of medications as well that have been recommended. Kira.
My question to you, though, is you've gotten all this information. Are you following any of it currently?
I'm taking notes here. I'm taking notes.
But currently, you've never taken the honey. Where's the hay band today?
I have the hay band on me.
Let me see. Pull it up.
I have to pull up my sleeve.
Okay. The hay band. I'm being your mother here. I'm just making sure. We got to get you better. We don't want you stuffed up all the time. Anyway, I'm joined now by Councillor Anne Breen. She's Labour Councillor for Naas Municipal District. Good morning, Anne.
Morning, Ciara.
And
good morning to your listeners.
Thank
Can
you
I say,
yes.
A remedy for hay fever. Now, and this is an old remedy. Nettle juice.
I've heard this.
There's plenty of nettles around. Go out and pick them and boil them and use the water and that'll help with hay fever.
And how often are you supposed to do that, Anne? How often are you supposed to take the nettle juice?
There's nettles out there everywhere, so you could pick them nearly every day and do it. 5 minutes would do that.
Drink it, Anne, is it?
Yeah, trinkets, yeah. I worked in a local hospital. I worked in Skins.
Right.
And this is what most of the consultants would have said to us a lot of years ago. And this is a remedy for hay fever.
I haven't heard that one, but I'll definitely give it a try.
Try that one. And you can buy it in the health shop.
I did hear of nettle juice before, but you see, Anne, you don't know Owen Beattie. He's a big diva. He probably won't do that.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. He needs everything to taste good. And your colleague Bill Clear was on yesterday, and I just want to note this quickly while you're on with us. Yourself, Carmel Kelly, Fintan Brett, Evie Salmon, Colm Kenny and Bill Clear all asked the councils for an update that was on the steps being taken to alleviate the arsenic contamination on the Kilteel Group water scheme. As I said, Bill did go through it yesterday, but is there anything you'd like to add to it, Anne?
Yeah, well, I fully support the people, the 70 families who live in Kilteel and who are suffering because of what's happening. We have to find what happened, we have to find the source, and we all know what arsenic is. It's found in the soil, it's found in rocks, and basically the damage it can do to your health. You know, you look at arsenic, and arsenic can cause cancer, liver cancer, and it can destroy multi-organs failure. So I feel these people, the families in Kilteel, the 70 families, are in limbo land. And I think we have to work, and I think Irish Water have to work to get a solution for what's happening.
Okay. You did ask the council also at the meeting for an update. This is on the status of Nace Shopping Centre's development.
Yes. Now, I acknowledge that there is a live application form in there, and we're waiting on that to proceed. But what happened was, the front of the shopping centre, the facades in the front, it's a protective structure, and that was turned down. Not the whole shopping centre, that was turned down. Now, after 14 years, I personally feel something has to happen. But we don't have an anchor tenant, and that's very important for the people of the town to see the shopping centre up and running.
Okay, and moving to you asking for the confirmation, if the provision of the parklet, this is installed in North Main Street in Nace, was put out for tender, and if so, what were the results?
Now, I have a bee in my bonnet for this parklet, and the tender, there were two tenders. Now, the one that they got was the cheapest. Now, that was $30,500, excluding VAT. And it's still not finished. There still has to be railings put round the side for safety. So that's going to cost more money. I personally would love to see it relocated, but where you would put it, I don't know.
You noted that it's still not finished, Anne. Is there a reason as to why it's taking this length?
Well, you look at where the parklet is on the main street. It's on a slope. So they have to safeguard it. And underneath that, you can see that there's rubbish gathered. So they're going to put something there to stop the rubbish going in underneath. But personally, I would like to see it relocated. I don't think that's going to happen, because they said that they're going to leave it to September, October, and then they'll look at it. But I personally feel it's in the wrong place, and I don't think it looks nice.
And you said you want it relocated. You did note you don't know where, but...
But where would you put it, Ciara? Well, I don't know.
Well, then, it's quite difficult then to say one would want it relocated, right?
Yeah, but I think it's in the wrong place, and I personally feel, you know, it's dangerous. There's people trying to pass there, people with disabilities. I've spoken to a lot of people. There's nobody that I have spoken to, and I might be just one of the people that they keep sending me emails, they keep sending me phone calls. I walk the town every day, and people are saying to me, what is this? What is this parklet? And I'd say to them, well, I'm not very happy with it, and I don't like where it is.
Okay.
That's my view.
And finally, I want to ask you about you asking the council to investigate the river. That's at Millbrook Villas. It's in regards to high water levels, and you have stated it's overgrown state and clean where appropriate. What was the response?
Yeah. Now, they did say that they are going to look at it, but they did say that they have cleaned it. Now, I have been living in this 44 years, and my recollection years ago, that part of the town used to flood. Now, the residents in there, some of them are age-friendly, and they did do a good job. They used to clean it, and they used to keep an eye on it, and they would let the council know when the water level was coming up. Recently, we've had very heavy rain, and the residents are concerned that their property may be flooded again. Now, that river runs across into Popular Square, underneath Popular Square. It runs into the church, and then it runs into the canal. So that has to be kept clean or there will be flooding. Okay. Now, I know that I know it's a question of the two new families have moved in there and somebody's seen new life in there and they may be able to keep an eye on it. But the age-friendly people that are there now cannot do it anymore. I spoke to our MD engineer and he said that he would look at it again.
Okay.
So that's hopeful that this will happen. So I'm very happy that they are going to keep an eye on it.
Labour's Anne Breen for Kildare, excuse me, for Naas Municipal District. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thanks, Ciara. Thank you.
Okay, just to bring you some of the average house prices here in Kildare. This is by Aircode, and it's latest research from the Central Statistics Office. So the average house price in Selbridge remains the highest. The W23 Aircode, €398,710 is the average price in Selbridge. In Lucan, €392,473. The average price in Naas, €358,936 for a house. In Newbridge, €324,484. In the Curra Aircode area, €334,117. Further south of the county, then in Athy. Quite cheap for an average price of a house there. In the OR14 area, code €224,843. In Kildare Town, the OR51 air code €295,227, and in Monastrevin €269,728. And just in some of the surrounding areas then, in Port Leash, the OR32 air code €219,049. In Carlow, €225,000 is the average for a house there. And in Wicklow, then €371,000. That's all according to new research from the CSO.
Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
All right, let's go now to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, and Fine Gael councillor on the MD is Tracy O'Dwyer. Morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Owen. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Motions that you brought forward to the recent meeting, and first of all, a very busy junction, Lumville Junction. You wanted the council to carry out a speed and traffic volume survey there.
Absolutely. Lumville Junction is a very old crossroads, possibly about 60 years old at this stage, and the MD Engineer's Office have acknowledged that there are technical issues and traffic conflict at this junction, and it's not going to get any better. You know, if anything, it's going to get busier. So I had asked if it could be considered to be included on the major junctions list for assessment next year. Now, initially, the report said the junction didn't meet the criteria to get on that list. However, at the meeting, the council did make a clarification that, in fact, this junction could be listed for 2023. So that's a really positive outcome. I know it's not maybe as quick as we would like, but at least once it's on the list, it will be addressed next year. So that's good news.
Okay, you also wanted the council to examine the option of widening the road from the traffic lights junction in Athgarvan back towards the wider section on the approach road to Newbridge. Now, obviously, this particular road has been in the news over the last while because of Beelan Woods, which is being built out there. So is this close enough to that particular area?
This is probably more as the Athgarvan Inn and the traffic lights from there back towards where the road widens. So there's a section of that road that's quite narrow and there's a brick wall on one side which is constantly being clipped by cars. But if you're cycling or trying to walk along there, it's extremely narrow. It actually opens up the closer you come to Newbridge. So what I was asking was that it's an extremely busy road. And, you know, as you said there, given the extent of recent developments around the Athgarvan area, I don't understand why the widening of the road from the traffic lights in Athgarvan back toward Newbridge hasn't been widened to make the road safer. The council did indicate that the land would need to be purchased to accommodate this request. So I've asked the council to confirm exactly what land would need to be purchased. We've been going around the houses, excuse the pun, far too long regarding this road and the requirement to widen it. So we just need to figure out a way to do it. It's absolutely essential.
Okay, before we talk about flooding in Kilcullen, we'll stick on the issue of roads, Tracy, and you were looking to get confirmation to see if there were any plans to complete the repair of the damaged manholes between McLaughlin's and Brennan's garages, where repairs have been carried out on the two manholes, but there are also still quite a few more that are in poor condition.
Yes, some repairs, as you said, had been carried out there, so it was just to see where they're going to come back and finish the work. And thankfully, yes, the Water Services Area Engineer advised that arrangements are being made to complete the repairs to a further five number foul manholes in that area. So that work hopefully would start this week or next week.
And that's McLaughlin's and Brennan's in Newbridge, Tracy, is it?
In Newbridge, yes.
Because
yes,
I know there was also an issue. We spoke to a listener, Margaret, about it, where the work had been carried out. The road was tarred, but some of those drains were filled with tarmac. Is that a similar issue or something different?
No, this is a different issue. This is where they're just damaged and in need of repair. And some repairs had been carried out, and it was just to see where all the manholes going to be repaired. They were actually damaged.
Okay, not sure if they are associated, but finally then, the final question that you brought forward. As I said, there appears to be a flooding issue, severe flooding as you describe it, at the busy Mile Mill Junction in Kilcullen.
So Mile Mill Junction is actually out near Brannockstown, but the address would be Mile Mill Kilcullen, but it's Brannockstown, very busy junction. I think it's the only junction in Ireland where there's a four-way stop, so everybody has to stop. But just coming up to the junction from the Brannockstown side, it floods continuously at the junction. And, you know, a lot of people walk through this junction, or you're slowing down to try and pull up to a very busy junction. And I know the council have been doing work for it in a long time to try and figure out what the problem is here. So the issue, as they said to me, is that there are no outlets for surface water in the area, and a large drainage scheme is required. So they will require the agreement of local landowners. So what I suggested yesterday was, look, can we make contact with either myself or the landowners, and let's see what can we do here, because it really is, the flooding is continuous there. You know, it's not just on heavy days of rain. It just needs to be kind of a consistent rainy day, and all of a sudden you have a flood at a very busy junction. So they are working on it, and hopefully we will get a resolution.
Okay, Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Tracy O'Dwyer. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you, Owen.